Hi, my name is Jared. I'm not a therapist. I'm not a doctor. I'm not even sure I know where I am right now. No, I'm just a Christian who, like many others, lives with a mental health challenge. This is Bless This Brain. Look, I'll go first. These are the words of a loving parent or a caring sibling, basically anyone who has been braver than us at one point in our lives. Someone who had experience with things that we didn't and uses that experience to empower us to face the same thing they did. Someone who had ridden that roller coaster and lived to tell the tale. Someone who could jump off the high dive and arrive safely back at the edge of the pool. Someone who wasn't afraid to try a new food, or maybe was but tried anyways and liked it. Someone who could then say to us, "See, I did it." This is the role that Jesus plays in our lives. It's not that Jesus entered into a world full of people that hadn't already experienced rejection, suffering, or pain. He wasn't even the first person nailed to a cross. In many ways, Jesus didn't go first. But as the founder of our faith and the leader of we, his followers, among this community of people, he did go first. Not just to death, but to what that death represented. Unconditional love at the expense of one's own comfort. I mean, I get grumpy when my wife asks me to find her Kindle after I'm already comfortable in my chair. Jesus, he left the comfort of glory and an eternal dance of joy and love only to descend into this dark world to die, to conquer death. So we, his followers, who are given his mind and called to follow him in his ways, we too become the ones who say, "Look, I'll go first, even if it means it's a little painful, even if it means I have to die to myself in a way or two. I'm gonna go first for the good of my brothers and sisters, those whom God loves." For those of you who exist in communities of belonging, be it a church or a family or a group of close friends, some of you have been uniquely equipped to be the person who says, "Look, I'll go first. I'll be the first one who speaks about my own experience, be it living with a mental health challenge, being diagnosed with a mental illness, or even about the treatment I've received." Some of us have to talk about these things first, even if it hurts. Do you have that calling? Do you feel a tug at your heart when you see someone who's suffering and know that they might be living with the symptoms of a mental illness? A tug to share a piece of your story with them in an effort to help them not feel so alone? Do you feel like there's a calling to speak up when someone in a Bible study starts making pithy statements about how the only thing you need to do to overcome all forms of anxiety is just trust and obey, something you know isn't true based on your own experience? Taking it to even greater lengths, do you feel a calling to take this experience to an even larger platform? Perhaps writing your story down and sharing it with friends, or even online. Don't mistake what I'm saying as a calling. I'm not asking anyone to do these things. I'm asking you to consider if you're one of those for whom the calling has already been there. And I'm offering this as that little nudge that gets you to answer that call. But first, let's address something important. Some of you are not in a place where it's time to share. And that can be for a number of reasons. Perhaps you still haven't experienced much healing yourself. Maybe that's because you've just started on the path of mental health recovery. Or maybe it's because the care you've received hasn't been adequate. I'm not saying you shouldn't share because only healthy people should lead in that way. You're absolutely free to talk about your experience with others who might need it, no matter where you are in your journey. But I just want you to know it's also okay if you're not in a place where you can handle the challenges that come with that level of vulnerability. Maybe you want to continue on the path of recovery to a place where you feel strong enough to engage in that way. Some of you can't share because it would be a detriment to your ability to provide for yourselves. I've worked for startups that were largely made up of younger professionals, and they're much more adept at speaking about mental health and making accommodations for those who suffer in that way. It's a part of their culture. That same culture may not exist in an established law firm, or in a police department, or on a construction site. I happen to know through experience working with some individuals that talking about a mental health challenge can keep you from achieving your dream of flying a fighter jet or working for a government agency that requires a higher level of clearance. It's kind of sad that someone suffering from major depression, anxiety, or even bouts of psychosis has to hide that if they want to pursue certain careers. Careers where the ability to pursue mental health recovery is imperative, but not allowed. But hey, that's the world we live in. Maybe someday it'll change. But for some, the calling to speak more openly about their challenges is a calling that just can't be ignored or pushed to the side, no matter what the consequences. Perhaps you see how it could be a benefit to others that you're in community with. Perhaps you feel that you're particularly gifted in a way that helps you communicate clearly the experience that you're living with. You know what it was for me? First, it was that I needed to be freed from this facade of stability I'd been trying to keep together for nearly 2 decades. It was exhausting. I wanted to be in community with people who loved me for who I am, not who I'd been pretending to be. It's not that they were completely different, these two Jareds. One just struggled a lot and had difficulty navigating the challenges of life. The other acted like mostly everything was going to plan. But after sharing about that experience online, I started finding out how many people were living with a mental health challenge and with many similarities to my own story. I learned this when I shared my story about being diagnosed with bipolar disorder online. So many people from every church I've been a part of since I was a child started reaching out to tell me that they too suffered from a mental health challenge, and many of them very significant mental illnesses. They largely had 2 things in common. For most, they were telling me privately for fear of disclosing their situation. For some number, they had disclosed to another Christian before, oftentimes their pastors, and the response from those individuals was so hurtful that they'd left the church. I started learning just how many people begin their mental health recovery journey at, you guessed it, the church, and how many stopped receiving care at that point in the journey. The church was the gatekeeper to individuals with serious mental illness receiving care. And I thought, how could we have gotten here? How could we, myself included, have been so devoid of knowledge regarding the realities of mental illness? How could we, as members of the body of Christ, the primary place that so many went to when they were experiencing mental health challenge, be the ones who kept them from continuing or starting to receive care? That was when I felt God put me smack in the midst of a calling to make this topic the focal point of my ministry. A calling my wife felt too, for very similar reasons. But let me tell you what was at stake. At the time that I began openly talking about my experience, I was leading a number of teams at what was, at the time, the fastest growing company in America, if not the world. If you've used DoorDash to order food from a national brand like McDonald's or Subway, that was my teams that onboarded them, built their menus, and the methods of importing those menus. I know, pretty exciting stuff. But it was a dream job that I never thought I could get. And here I was going online and telling people I was bipolar, even if DoorDash didn't fire me. My stuff was now out there on the internet. Would I ever work again? Would I be secretly passed over for promotions because of this illness? Secondly, was my career that I always thought I'd eventually enter back into. I'd spent 13 years in pastoral ministry, work that I loved, despite mostly sitting under the authority of angry, violent, narcissistic pastors. I was a troubled pastor magnet. Would any church ever hire me again if they knew that I'd been diagnosed with this? I thought of those leaders I'd worked for as paid members of their staffs, and the answer was unequivocally no. So in my case, I had these 2 fears. On one hand, the end of my business career and pastoral ministry. On the other hand, I had something inside me saying that I was in a position of some small influence and was called to use my voice and my experience to affect change regarding mental health stigma in faith communities. In my case, it was the content of that hand that won out. Some of you listening are leaders. You could be someone's employer or a business owner. You could be a pastor who gets to spend time at a pulpit, an elder or a deacon serving congregants in different capacities. You could be a worship leader, a children's volunteer, a a security team member, or even a greeter at the front door. No matter who you are or to what degree you hold influence, and you're almost guaranteed to hold some, if you're one of those people who suffers from mental health challenges, and let's face it, you're listening to this podcast, you're ill. If you're one of those people, you could really change some lives by being at least a little open about the struggles you face. Ask yourself, in my context, am I called and equipped to go first? Now, a special word to those who speak from the pulpit, a position I've been in from time to time. I learned something kind of happy slash sad recently. Apparently, in my town, pastors of many different churches are getting better at talking about their own mental health challenges, some very significant. The problem is, this particular group of pastors, they're only talking to each other, and much of that talk only takes place behind closed doors. Pastors of all people, if you're listening, whether you realize it or not, the people in your congregations look at you on that stage. They hear you waxing eloquent about Scripture, commanding people's attention with your biblical authority, and what they see in you is not what you likely see in yourself. They often see unattainable perfection. Look, part of this is not your fault. The standards required to hold these positions can be so ridiculous. Yes, you should be a wise, empathetic, loving, caring, gentle, kind, honest person if you want to be in a position of ultimate leadership within a church. See, we take Paul's instructions that an overseer should be above reproach and have misconstrued the word to include mental health challenges, as if the reproach referred to that pastors must rise above in order to earn their role includes depression or anxiety. It doesn't. But pastors, you should also take seriously the attribute that was ascribed to the religious rulers of the day by Jesus when he said, "They tie up heavy burdens, hard to bear, and lay them on people's shoulders, but they themselves are not willing to move them with their finger." Attempting to muster joy in the midst of a deep depression, that's a heavy, impossible burden to bear. Now say you're a pastor whose history of depression has made experiencing this same joy an impossible burden at points in your life. But you get up on a Sunday morning and preach on topics of joy or peace versus anxiety and never confess how your own mental health challenges have made experiencing peace and joy impossible at times. Well, you're putting a burden on people that you can't bear, a burden that you're not even willing to move with your words, because to help your congregants in that regard would expose you to potential consequences, be it uncomfortable, vulnerability, or even job loss. Let me say plainly, if you preach on Scripture that comes with demands that you yourself can't meet at times due to mental health challenges, tell your people. Free them from feeling like you're the example they can't live up to. And if you can't do that, you need to ask yourself two questions. One, am I at the right church? Or am I in a church that would fire me for being depressed and anxious? And question two, am I able to do this job from a place of honesty and vulnerability, or is this simply not my calling? Leaders go first, but this doesn't mean go to your computer right now, write this all out, and send it out into the world. This is a moment of reflection, a time to step away and pray, Lord, do I have a place of influence where others who are suffering similar to myself can experience freedom through my sharing? And if the answer to that prayer is yes, and you're in a place where you're able or implicitly required, then go first. Lord, for our good and for your glory, bless this brain. Thanks for listening. If you found this episode helpful, consider following, rating, and reviewing wherever you listen. That'll help people find the podcast. And if you're interested in the services that we offer at Bless This Brain, everything from mental health first aid trainings for churches to remote and in-person peer support groups and much, much more, just visit blessthisbrain.com. Until next time.